I'm John Batcher with my colleague Jakob Grigil of the Hoover Institution, as well as other affiliations. He's a professor. He's in Europe reading a book by a European about a nightmare. The nightmare is when NATO doesn't even try to refuse Russia's aggression. It happens in a small Baltic country named Estonia. I mentioned that it's an important detail of Vladimir Putin historically, not in the book, but historically, that he cares about Russian speakers. That is part of the explanation for why Donbass, dominated by Russian speakers with Russian media in their homes. There are lots of Russian speakers in the Baltics, especially in Estonia. There are other Russian speakers to mention. This is what Russia in its Tsarist days called the near abroad. And Estonia is out right on the front line. So in the book, if Russia wins, what I take from it, Jakob, is that all bets are off now. NATO is not working for the least of us. So how will it work for the biggest pieces, which is Germany, France, Britain, Spain now, and Italy? I would have doubts about whether what comes next would be favorable to my public. There would be panic everywhere about getting a sizable force into Poland. Poland's ready to fight. We know that. Prime Minister Tusk pointing fingers at Russia right after that explosion on the rail line, even before the investigation. We know they're ready to fight. But one more detail that is not in this book, but it's fresh. It just came up. It is now estimated that it would take 45 days to move U.S. reinforcement coming across the North Atlantic, landing in the ports along the North Sea, perhaps one of the big ports, perhaps any port that's available, and getting to the front lines, 45 days, because not only does Europe not want to fight a war, it's not ready to fight a war. The rail tracks don't match up. The bridges are too low. The roads are not in good shape. There's no way to drive from all the way to the front line. There's an example given the other day that France wanted to send tanks to Ukraine in 22, but there was no way to cross the land to get into Ukraine through Romania. So they had to ship them in the Mediterranean to the Ukraine. That was 2022. So, Jakob, this is more than Europe not wanting to fight a war. They're not even preparing to fight a war, even though they make these protestations. Is that Europe today, or am I giving a distorted picture because of the FT?
No, I think the assessment is correct, that the situation right now is pretty dark. I mean, there are signs that some Europeans or some groups or some parties or some individuals here and there in Europe are willing to step up. I think the German chancellor, I think so far, has been quite positive in that line. And some, for instance, in Italy, even today, the Minister of Defense has issued a document, a paper of some sorts, listing the sort of attacks, the Russian attacks on Europe, saying essentially that the Europeans are at war with Russia and they're not prepared. And he's talking about hybrid war, gray zone war type of things. So there's some signs that some Europeans are getting it. And this book, I think, is another sign. I think the challenge is that the Europeans have spent decades now preparing for it. So it will take a while to actually, speak metaphorically, dig themselves out of this hole of sort of demilitarization. And second, I think the vast majority of the different Western societies, European societies, are just not willing to consider this because it does involve serious expenses and therefore trade-offs. And most societies here are not willing to accept those trade-offs. Yes, the Poles, the Estonians, the Lithuanians, the Latvians, sure, they're willing. They know exactly what this means. They are under attack. I mean, you mentioned the attack yesterday in Poland. A few months ago now, the many drones, Russian drones that flew into Poland, they were expressly meant to test the response, the military response of the Europeans and in Poles in particular. Now, the drones were unarmed. They flew from the same airports. They flew directly into Poland, etc. So, you know, again, some politicians, some countries are more willing than others, but the societies are not ready because that involves, again, costs. So either greater debt, more taxes, or less expenses on social welfare. It will involve, in some cases, I think will involve some form of draft, military draft. There's no mention of that. There will be a sort of revolution in many European countries. And it does involve a physical rearming, building tanks, building artillery, producing munitions on a scale that have not been reached in half a century here, if not more. And there isn't yet a social, my point is, and in the book, I think, supports this. There's no social backing for this. There's no social, cohesive social willingness to rearm.
What I read on this side of the Atlantic is that one response is to blame America for not leading. Is that a useful excuse that gets them out of the problem of not spending money?
Yeah, that's usually the response, that, you know, the Americans are not leading or not doing enough. But I think it's getting much harder, and this is Trump or not Trump, and I think some Europeans understand it, is that they can't go to Europe, to us, to the Americans, and saying, you're not doing enough, when they're doing nothing or very little. And I think that rhetoric, I think, works on sort of a domestic European arena, but it doesn't work anymore in a diplomatic interaction with the U.S. And I think a lot of politicians realize that in Europe. So again, I think a book like this, I think I see it as not just an analysis of a military expert, but it's meant to sort of kick a little bit, sort of this complacent supine European societies, to realize that the danger is quite real, it's quite serious, and it's not a danger that will happen in 50 years. It's a danger that's happening now, and in a few years, however this war with Ukraine ends, will continue. So now, you know, the interesting thing, this book has been translated, has been written in German, has been translated in Italian. I saw it in bookstores in London the other day. So I think there's an English version too. So it's, you know, has been spread around, and it's one small drop in this attempt to mobilize European societies.
If Russia wins, the author's name is M-A-S-A-L, Masala, Carlo Marsala. And Jakob Grigel has done me the favor of introducing me to a book I must read immediately now that I know it's in English. This is CBS Eye on the World. Thank you, Jakob.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.